Hello, good evening, good afternoon, good morning. This is the ABW podcast for the week that was. Interesting games we've had coming across. We've got Cardiff and Newcastle and the international break to cover as well. And of course, Fife's Forum and your questions. I wouldn't be doing this alone, though, as much as everybody loves the sound of my voice and taking up the hosting seat from the venerable Raj Patel we had last week. I have now joined by the venerable David Gunaholic. How are you?
Good evening. I'm fine, thank you, Master. Good to be invited back again.
Thank you as well. And always fresh from the radio show as well, where he has been throwing punches left, right and centre, we have Jason Davies in Wales. How are you going, Jason?
I'm okay, thanks, Josh. How long did you practice that intro for?
About 12 seconds.
How long did it take you to write it?
I haven't even written it down.
I think you protest a little too much.
Got to do something during your toilet break.
Well, you know, did you remember to introduce yourself?
I haven't introduced myself. I was hoping my voice would do it for me. However, I am nursing a cold. I will only mention that twice during the show.
As long as you're not nursing Chris Carpenter, it's fine.
Someone has to. Nobody's paid enough for that. Anywho. On to the final person, who, of course, is looking after all the technical bits and pieces and pushing all those buttons with the greatest of ease. Danny, how are you?
Yeah, well, Sexy Frank, get ready, people. Here's a little story for you. Sexy Frank came round last night. He was here for a couple of hours and showed him my new wheelchair. It's an Argon 2, if anybody wants to go and Google it. Thank you very much for paying your taxes. $2,500 well spent by the NHS. And he came back and he went, do you like it? I said, yeah, but it's got the wrong wheels on it. He said, what's the right wheels then? So I showed him on Google Images. I said, there you go, 5-spoke ones. He took a step back. He looked at me and he went, I don't want to be mean, mate, but I don't think 5 spokes are enough. What's he trying to imply?
So have you got a Canadian wheelchair then, with it being made by Argon?
I don't know where it comes from, but it's, might have to check it's that. Very nice. Yeah, I've not sat in it yet. But well, I think he was implying I'm fat.
If you've got an Argon 2,
yeah,
does that mean Jason has an Argon 0?
Oh, that's why you are the world's greatest blogger. Jason, sort your headphones out.
That's terrible. I love it.
I'm fine, Josh. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Should we start with Cardiff? A 3-2 win, an away win, something that we haven't seen too often. And I think Emery didn't really see a lot of them in Sevilla. So let's go over to Cardiff and into Wales. Jace, let's go through your lowdown on the game. I know there's a full radio show for it, so maybe keep it succinct.
Succinct, by God. Cardiff City haven't scored the season as of yet. We either go there and they grab 2. It was frustrating. There was some really good patches. We controlled the majority of the game. I think we had 72.5% of it. Really nice set piece goal from Mustafi to open it up. Pinpoint cross from Xhaka. But lo and behold, you know, just for half time, we have to let in the equaliser. We'd controlled the first half. We started towards the end of it to let them back into it. And it was a frustrating first half. We're not cohesive yet. As much as we controlled that game, we didn't get the whole team involved. You know, Ramsey had a bit of a hot and cold game. First half, Mesut Ozil was anonymous. And, you know, I don't think they deserved the equaliser, but, you know, we go in 1-1. Come out second half, we start to show real grit again, okay? You know, they had a little bit of the early parts, but overall, we were very, very comfortable, you know, in controlling possession. And the Aubameyang goal comes along, really nice bit of play, fantastic finish. Aubameyang opens his account for season, great stuff. You know, not even 10 minutes later, we let in another equaliser. Poor defending, as is our way. You know, we're just not tracking people. You got Aaron Ramsey marking Morrison, and it's just an absolute joke. But the Lacazette goal to win the game was just fabulous. An absolute bullet of a finish. And as somebody said, I don't remember who, apologies for not giving credit, but it was Podolski-esque. It really was phenomenal. The second half was so notable for me. Mezzarosa really threatened to get into it. He started coming deep, started picking the ball up. And, you know, he looked as if he was going to grab the game by the scruff of the neck. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. I think he only had kind of 50-odd touches all game, which sums his performance up. Xhaka frustrates me because I thought he was great in possession, but really, really, really poor out of possession. Yes, he'll pick up recoveries and what have you, but he's not really a defensive presence. But at the end of the day, it's 3 points away from home, and Wales have just scored against Ireland. Come on, you toffs! Carry on.
Cheers, Jase. David, game I think we expected from Cardiff going by early how possession stats that we'd be seeing a lot of long balls. How did you think we dealt with that aerial presence? I know Nacho got targeted constantly. Both their goals came from headers where he was just out-muscled in the air. Is that a problem for us or just a unique situation that we have?
No, I think they've got wise to what the way we've been playing in the opening weeks of the season. And they targeted going in behind both fullbacks, because although we're only playing with a back two instead of a three, we're still using the two fullbacks as wingbacks. And so West Ham were trying to do the same to us as well. If they play the ball in behind, particularly, I thought they were targeting Bellerin more than Monreal, and he had a torrid time on Saturday. They got a stream of crosses in, and that it was those that was putting Monreal under pressure, which is unusual because Monreal is probably as good as the two central defenders in the air. But he did find it a little bit difficult at the weekend. I thought Cardiff started the game excellently because they obviously wanted to press and test check in particular, but whether the back four were comfortable with knocking it around each other. And of course we weren't. And when Czech played one straight to, who was it, Arta, thank goodness he blazed it over because I thought we were going behind there. But yeah, generally defensively, I thought that the middle two actually had a better game. But we have got to do something about providing some cover for that, for those two defenders, two fullbacks.
Sorry, can I come in there? The problem is, we're not going to get width from anywhere else. So, you know, he's going to continue to push the fullbacks forward. That is his game plan. So, you know, we need to adapt to it. And the one thing I agree on them at Mustafi and Socrates, I thought it was a better game from them, okay, as a pairing, but we're still not adapting to what's happening. You know, it was all pretty solid, but when we are being dragged wide, as you said, you know, to be fair to Cardiff, they got two monsters in Bamba and Morrison. So, you know, you're going to be struggling no matter who they're up against. Mm-hmm. But we're not adapting during the game to the threats being posed at us, are we?
Is this a case of taking it with the rough with the smooth? That, you know we're very good going forward. You've got the fact that, you know, we'd probably be arguing on the flip side that Nacho, you know, if he was super tall and he was winning everything in the air, that he wasn't quick enough over the ground. That it's a case of, you know, we know that it's a weak spot for us, and if we get targeted, we're just going to have to control possession and stop those long balls coming in.
I think that's a fair comment, but, you know, we know this is a process. You know, we know it's not going to happen overnight. We know that, it's going to take, you know, at least a dozen games to get sharp in and out of possession, you know, to what Emery wants. But I do expect a bit more from Mustafi and Socrates in that department. I don't know, Dave, I don't know what you think about that.
I'll tell you what, I agree with it to a certain extent. I think we have to get the two in front of them absolutely spot on. And I absolutely agreed with the selection on Sunday because I thought Xhaka against West Ham had an outstanding game and didn't deserve to lose his place on that basis. But having seen him on Sunday, where he slipped into more normal mode, I'm increasingly of the opinion that we should be starting Torreira in there alongside Guendouzi, both of whom look like they enjoy a tackle, both of whom are quick to go and support the fullback, but we've not got the two of them on the pitch at the same time. I think that's what we need to think of now.
So one thing I'd say to you, Davis, I can't remember the last time an Arsenal team's gone out with two defensively minded midfielders in those positions as well. Is that something that perhaps could be a change for this fan base? Because we've cried out for it for years.
Yes, absolutely.
Even back to you know, Vieira, Petit years, neither of those were, you know, Vieira you wouldn't call defensive as a midfielder.
Mm. And make no mistakes about it, both of them will get forward, because you've seen when he's come on as a substitute, Torreira is very quick with the first ball and very quick to get up and support the attack, but he's equally quick getting back to fill the gaps. And Guendouzi looks as though he's of a similar mind and even quicker. So, no, I think they are possibly a pairing we've been looking for a long time. Early days, of course, and Guendouzi is still a lad, so I think he's excelled himself and done better than anyone could have expected in the Premier League.
So, Jace, would you take Guendouzi in? He's a young player, you know, only 19. He was voted our Player of the Month, though, for August. Would you continue playing him?
I'm a fan of Guendouzi. I think he's a lovely footballer. I think he's learning the trade, okay? I disagree with Dave on Xhaka there on Saturday. I thought Xhaka was very good in possession. He had over 120 touches on the ball and was always playing it forward. Out of possession, he does frustrate me. He does annoy me, okay? But I think Guendouzi's on a learning path, okay? And, you know, okay, well, if he got easy games, bed him and Torreira in, you know, when you go into Europa Cup and things like Europa League, sorry, and things like that, okay? But in the Premier League, I just think we're going to get caught and caught cold. I do agree with John Welsh, funny enough. John has made this point that good things happen when Xhaka's on the pitch. A lot of people will disagree. He seems to be the victim of the boo boys at the moment. I got no problem with critique in the performance, but to say he was useless on Saturday, and I know Dave's not saying that, but, you know, it's been bandied about, is just wrong, you know. He does control a lot of what we do. And the number of touches, his influence on the game with all those touches is ignored a lot of the time. Would it be unfair to drop Guendouzi? He didn't have a great game on Saturday. There are lots of mistakes, which he's supposed to be making at this point in his career, by the way. You know, it's not a criticism of the lad whatsoever. Torreira, I think he could be a real attribute to this team. I really do. I wonder how they're going to manage it. The output, you know, you're looking at, I don't agree with Ramsey, playing Ramsey that far up. You're not getting the best out of him. And I don't see how Emery's going to fit it in, to be honest with you. So I wouldn't go with Guendouzi and Torreira. I would first of all try Xhaka and Torreira, maybe as a holding pair, or even Torreira and Ramsey, and give Mezet a bit of a free roll and bring Mkhitaryan in as well.
Yeah, some interesting times we've got, perhaps with the international break now upon us. It's the natural time where you can make these kind of selection calls based on who and who isn't available. I think, as everybody said, that Xhaka had a really good game for me as well. I think some of the extra things was how he was dealing with, especially that cross-field ball that led to the 1-1. He was one of the three defenders in the middle that kind of got back and at least, you know, if he is making a mistake, he's trying to rectify it. And the position he took up was the correct race, I think.
The problem he got, Josh, is his cross-field ball for the first goal, I think it was. When we discussed on the radio show and John said, you know, it was poorly executed pass. The pass was on. I kind of disagree with that slightly, but I see his point. I think it's a more than valid point. You know, Xhaka's been doing that for a long time. It's the same problems that are facing Xhaka that he had when he first came here. He hasn't improved his performance off the ball. You know, a misplaced pass happens. You know, it's not good. It was a suicide ball, in my opinion. But, you know, I got no problem that the people suggesting different to me. But his performances off the ball have not improved, in my opinion. I don't know what you think.
I mean, this game, as a standalone, I would say I wouldn't fault his off the ball, because it's a bit like when we had the issue with Alexis. You know, he'd go for one too many step overs, but at least he then showed the determination to make up for his mistake. So I think that that was the issue that we had, was that potentially when he was playing these, I think the ball that he played wasn't a suicide ball at that point. The pass is on, but I think he still has enough time to get into a position to help the team out if it does go wrong, which he does. He gets into the middle. He goes between Socrates and Mustafi, which is where you'd expect him to be. And then, unfortunately, the ball goes to the back post and it's Monreal out there and he's caught in the air, which is the issue. But I think on this overall with the fullbacks and Xhaka, I think, yeah, we'll see it over the international break. Not every team is going to be like Cardiff from that point of view. Danny, did you have anything on our defence before we go and test the forward line?
Well, I usually have very little input on any of this lot because I'm not tactically aware. I'm not really anything aware of anything other than the football. I don't even remember what's happened 5 minutes after it's happened. So I now download the full game and then I go and watch parts of the game again. And the only thing I can say about Xhaka, that when he gave away that ball, which he shouldn't have done, it was a simple, no-pressure cross-field ball. He gave it away, and then as soon, nor any normal player, if that had been like an Elneny or a Guendouzi or maybe even Ramsey, he would have gone chasing after the ball. He didn't. He slowly jogged back to the dead centre of the penalty area, and he stood there getting in the way of one of our central defenders, and then they went down the left-hand side, they crossed it over, and he just stood there. And then they scored the goal. And I'm a fan of Xhaka. I don't think Arsenal should ever have a boo boy, but the crowd always have a boo boy for some reason or another. And that was, if you cannot do stuff like that and expect the fans to be on your side. He's very much like lackadaisical, like Ozil is at times, and he looks like he doesn't give a damn. And that's why Guendouzi is playing. I think when somebody does get dropped from that midfield, it's not going to be Guendouzi and it's not going to be Ramsey. It's going to be Xhaka for someone maybe like Elneny, because if you have I'll change that, Torreira, because then Torreira will do that bit in front of the back four, which is the bit you've already covered. So that's all I had to say about that.
Yeah, so David, let's go over to the forward line, the other end of the field. We saw, you know, our star forwards linking up for the second goal, and Lacazette again with the third. How did you reckon they're kind of melding together, this kind of forward line?
Absolutely excellent, the pair of them, and I've been begging and praying for them to start again together. Since the start of the season, and game four, there they are. There's your proof in the pudding. And I know people will say, well, it was only Cardiff, but we don't yet know how other teams are going to fare when they go to Cardiff. What I do know is that you can only beat what's in front of you, and those two played exceptionally well and contributed both in terms of goals and assists. So it was, you know, that bit of it worked. What I'm not sure worked was how we used Aaron Ramsey really as the playmaker, Mesut Ozil out wide. And if he's going to give that a go for a while, then Mesut is going to come under pressure from Mkhitaryan for his place. That's the only other thing I'd say about the forward line.
Would anyone else like to cover anything on the forward line, or should we move?
I'll go with that. I mean, I agree with Ramsey. You know, he's a box-to-box midfielder. That's the end of the story. But I don't think Aubameyang had a great game. A fabulous finish for his goal. But, you know, there were a number of missed chances there. And I thought Ozil was pretty putrid for most of the game, to be honest with you. Didn't get involved. Not enough about him to affect play. He didn't have any real positive, you know. Okay, he had a second assist for the Lacazette goal, I think, but that was he just didn't affect the game in a positive way. Other than that,
I think the second assist that he did get defines the speed of that whole move, though. The way he fizzes that Lacazette creates that pass on, compared to another second assist that occurred in that game where the speed of that pass didn't define the move. You can see what he was trying to do.
The bottom line is, Akira, that's one moment in a game, okay? That's your star player. That's 400K a week out the door, okay? That's the main man. And Emery has to find a way of getting more out of him. You know, is it a positional thing? You know, because he seemed to enjoy playing that role at Real Madrid. Okay, there was no problems in playing that role at Real Madrid. Now it's a problem. I don't accept that at all. Okay, you know, are we slightly top heavy? Have we got players getting each other's way? That's fine. Okay, you know, but you know, you could talk with those second assists. That was that second assist was nothing in comparison to the finish. Okay. You know, if you're going to have a pissing contest between who had the best second assist, let's give up and leave the building now because we've forgotten what the game's about, okay? You know, there were two good moves, two great finishes, two good goals. Right? But Mesut Ozil needs to have more impact on the game. His impact on the game was negligible. 50-odd touches of the ball.
Look, this has been said before, hasn't it, Jace, that in Ramsey's entire career, where he's played the majority of the game, two games ago, he had touched the ball, had done the least number of passes ever in his life. Now, I think it's a problem with that field, whether you play Ramsey further back, or whether you play Ozil further forward. Either of those two playing in that position, there's got to be a reason why both of those two are failing to impress this season. Ramsey's been the better of the two, but there's something wrong with that position. Could it be that the fullbacks are bypassing that with crosses?
I think if you look at that game, you know, Ramsey was hardly setting the world alight, but he's involved in a lot of positive things. Aubameyang, can we really say he had a great game? I don't think he did. We need to get him involved more. Is this just part of the teething process for us? I don't know. But, you know, let's look. I thought Lacazette had a fabulous game.
He was really up for it.
Yeah, but he was involved in everything, okay? Everything he did was positive. His link-up play was sensational, okay? Mkhitaryan's performance from the Ozil position last week, I thought that was hot and cold, but it was far more positive than Mesut on the weekend. So I don't know what you guys think. You know, you tell me, but you know, if we're going to get into, you know, a pissing contest about or the intent or look at the past and what have you, you've got to be consistent throughout the game to affect the game in a positive way. And maybe we're a bit top heavy there. I don't know. Maybe it is a tactical structural thing with us, but we need to get better out of all these guys.
I was just really impressed with the way. Oh, sorry, Josh.
No, go for it.
Like David was saying, I'm just really impressed with the fact that he's played Aubameyang and Lacazette up front together. And we saw last season there's a beginning of a bromance when he gave the ball to him and let him take the penalty. And then that thing where they leant forward and they did that like an old-fashioned gentleman's handshake thing. That's brilliant. Those two have got a chemistry which so many teams don't have with their strikers. And if only we had, like Liverpool, you've got the Salah playing on the right, Mane is on the left. And then the Brazilian with the teeth playing him. I always get Coutinho and the other one, Firmino. You got him playing it, and all three of those are on form. It's just a matter of time until either Ramsey, I know Ramsey's not a 10, Jace, either Ramsey or Ozil as that attacking midfielder works in conjunction with Lacazette and Aubameyang. And the moment that clicks, like those two have clicked, the Premier League's in for some trouble because, I mean, we've got a brilliant run of games coming up, and that's what I'm looking forward to. But it's just like you were saying at the beginning, you said, what does it take, a dozen games for this to happen, because those two played together last season, those two have already gelled, and that's just going to be something that's going to be mouth-wateringly brilliant. We're all going to be moist once that whole front line starts to click.
Yeah, I totally agree. So yeah, I think we've got some really interesting points that we've gone through, and we'll see them coming to fruition over this nice international break that we've got coming up and to the rest of the season. David, I think you've got the players that are off on international break. Who are those before we get to Newcastle?
Okay, then we have Sokratis, who's been included in the Greek squad for their matches against Estonia and Hungary. Henrik Mkhitaryan has been called up to the Armenia squad against Liechtenstein and Macedonia. So I can't believe Liechtenstein hasn't been picked for Liechtenstein. Aaron Ramsey is named in the Wales squad against Republic of Ireland, which is happening as we speak, and Denmark on September the 9th. Lucas Torreira is in Uruguay's squad for their friendly against Mexico. Stefan Lichtsteiner, oh, here he is, and Granit Xhaka have been called up to the Switzerland squad. They're playing against England on September the 11th, after Iceland on September the 8th. Danny Welbeck could also feature in that game because he's been picked for the England squad. England are also playing Spain in their opener on September the 8th. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang will captain Gabon in their Africa Cup of Nations qualifier against Burundi. David Ospina has been named in Colombia's squad for their friendlies against Venezuela and Argentina. Takumo Asano, yes, he's still one of our players, folks. He's with Japan for their friendlies against Chile and Costa Rica. And last but by no means least, Kelechi Nwankwo has been included in Nigeria's squad for their African Nations Cup qualifier against the Seychelles. That's it.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And on to Newcastle. Danny, this is another team that hasn't won a game all season so far. What do you reckon to this fixture?
Well, I've been listening to a YouTube thing about explaining the finances going on at Newcastle, and apparently the owner is an actual Newcastle fan. They've asked people from when he's back in his youth days. But you're looking at their current Premier League form. Like you said, they haven't won a game all season. They've lost three. They've drawn one away at Cardiff. In the last nine Premier League games, they've won one against Chelsea just before the FA Cup final, although they did play a decent team. They've got a point again away at Cardiff, and the rest of them they lost. The Newcastle fans are up in, well, I don't know how you are up. Oh, up in arms. Obviously, that meant guns. It didn't. It means up in arms. I said, oh, shrieking. There you go. Always wondered about that. They've brought in some players in the summer. They've got a couple of players from Swansea, the team that were relegated from Premier League for not being very good. They got a player from Germany, another player from Czechoslovakia. Meanwhile, the player they let go, Mitrovic, going to Fulham, banging in goals all over the place. And so that the fans are angry. The owner doesn't give a damn. They were moaning about the fact that he's just gone and bought that company for £90 million, I think it is, and he can't be bothered to spend any money on the club. He's desperate to sell. If it wasn't for the fact they got Rafa Benitez there, they would be doomed because he is a hell of a manager. But we should go there and we should hammer them. Maybe not necessarily score loads of goals, but probably 3-1, something like that. But it's not going to be a hard game for us because they've got no decent players left.
So, Jase, what do you reckon to the game up at, what is it now, the Sports Direct Stadium, sponsored by House of Fraser?
Jeez, who cares, isn't it? I got to be honest with you. I had the misfortune of watching part of the, oh my God, sorry, Aaron Ramsey just scored for Wales. It's 3-0. Four, three crackers.
Wish he'd do that for Arsenal.
Yeah, to me too. Sorry, I had the misfortune of watching the Newcastle United Cardiff City game. And it was by far the biggest load of dross I've ever seen. They got that guy Kennedy, the Brazilian, who just doesn't pass the ball and doesn't hit the target. And just, you know, what was that documentary about the Kaiser, the Brazilian Kaiser, the guy who sort of got a whole career of a football
club? Oh, yeah, John was telling us about that. That's brilliant. Yeah. Never played a game.
Yeah, the guy who did it, there's a great interview on Ars Blog about it. The guy who did it is an Arsenal fan, an Irish Arsenal fan, and he explained it on Ars Blog, and it was fascinating. But it's Kennedy kind of reminded, you know, I thought of that straight away. But look, you know, the next number of upcoming fixtures, including Newcastle, is an opportunity for us to get our cohesion right with our game going forward, for these guys to click in. You know, we're all, you know, the whole Arsenal fan sphere is critical of somebody at this moment in time, okay? Whether they're having a go at Emery, Aaron Ramsey, Mesut Ozil, Granit Xhaka. But I still think, you know, we said at the beginning of the season, you know, whoever comes in before Unai Emery was announced, you've got to give them a season. I think, you know, we've got to give these players a little bit of time as well. You know, they've got to get used to a different routine and what have you. But when you're playing the likes of Cardiff City and when you're playing the likes of Newcastle United, it's not just the result that's important. It's improving on performance week on week. Let's get the little things which we aren't getting right last week. Let's get it right next week. And so it's you know, Yes, we should go there and win. I've no doubt about that. But I would happily take a 1-0 win and a vastly improved performance, if you know what I'm saying. You know, it's all about our cohesion.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jace. Rafa knows how to put a highly organised team out there, irrespective of the quality he's actually got on the field. So, David, do you think this will be a tight game?
I think there's every likelihood it could be, because we sound a little bit dismissive of a team that went to Manchester City last week and very nearly got something out of the game. So I urge caution in that aspect of the thing. As you say, Rafa Benitez, if anyone's going to organise them, and if anyone will have a team looking to exploit our gaps on the flanks, then he certainly will. So we're going to have another little bit of an examination there. But I agree with Jason as much as we're mainly looking for an improvement on last Sunday, and we should win if we turn up. But just be a little bit wary of that one.
Yeah, I think, as I say, do you have a score prediction for that as well, David?
I'll be optimistic and say 2-0 or 2-1 to the Arsenal.
You know, I think, you know, one of the big things is, I've brought this up a number of times already, and I do apologise for boring you on it, but if you look at sort of the number of touches during the game, you know, I know Guendouzi was substituted, but with all the possession we had, I think Guendouzi had something like 60-odd touches. Granit Xhaka had 120 touches. Aaron Ramsey, 80-odd touches. And then you had Mesut Ozil with sort of 50 touches. Well, 50-plus, sorry, touches. We've got to get Mesut Ozil into the game more. Yeah? You know, we've got to be, you know, we've got to find our passing patterns and the lanes that we're going down and you know, get our running off the ball, our movement off the ball, our runs, you know, correct. The one thing that's kind of struck me the past couple of games is an awful lot is going down the right-hand side with Hector. Yet, one of our most effective attackers in Monreal. And last season, you know, you saw how effective he was in front of goal and stretching defences and what have you. We weren't getting him into the game well enough, in my opinion. OK, so, you know, you need to get a balance right there. So, you know, we have to sort of get a bit more tactical now and, you know, share out the attacking workload, because it's important for us now not to become a sort of one-way team, if you know what I mean, you know, a one-trick pony. We have to mix it up and really, you know, test wherever we're playing.
I'm just looking at the whoscored.com against their games against Man City and Chelsea. Against Chelsea, Newcastle had 18.9% possession and they played a 5-4-1 formation. Same formation against Man City and they had 22% possession. So like David was saying, I mean, I love Rafa. I thought I'd love to have seen Rafa come in as our manager, although I'm happy with Emery. But this is they're going to be dominated by us, but it's going to be such a tough game for us because they're not going to be opening up, are they? Because we like it when teams open up and then we can exploit them. And yeah, I agree with what you were saying, Jace. We can't rely on Bellerin and Monreal doing the same thing every game. We've got to try and make the most of playing it through the middle a little bit more to try and give Ramsey and Ozil the chance to show what they can do.
Yeah, and you've got the perfect linker play. I mean, I know, you know, look, we've said goodbye to Oli Giroud last season. Oli held the ball up well. But Lacazette's linker play is superb. The way he brings other players into the game is brilliant. But that means you have to get players running onto the ball and running beyond the ball. Okay, and that's where Mesut has to slightly change what he does. Ramsey's better from deeper, you know. But we have to get people running onto it and really attacking that ball and getting going forward. Dave, what do you think of that?
It's a difficult one for me because I don't know if it's something that he's trying to get and play down the flanks deliberately, just leaving the occasional direct break down the middle, more as a surprise tactic, because it's been a pattern for us so far this season. And I think we've got to give him a few weeks to work out exactly what the best way is for him and for us. But yeah, you make valid points about us not using that central midfield as effectively as you might want to see it. But that may be by choice.
I think it's a case of knowing what the average number should be for is 50 enough for Mesut Ozil to get, you know, the best out of him? Or what is that figure? Is it 70? Is it actually, is it less in his best games? About his movement?
That figure would be a lot higher if he's played centrally.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to drop because he can't control as much of the field when he's out on the wing.
But you look at how often he comes inside, though, and, you know, he's supposed to be in the support. Bearing in mind, everything's going down that right-hand side on Sunday, okay, via Hector, right? And the link-up between Mkhitaryan and Hector the week before was far more effective. And granted, it's Mesut's first game in that position this season, okay? You would expect that figure to be higher with the amount of play going down that side. And even if he is coming in, you know, he should be getting on the ball more. You know, we need to find a way of getting the ball to him more. We really do.
Yeah, we'll have to see. If hopefully we've got a fly on the wall in the training sessions, Jace, that can relay back to us what Ozil's being told to do and whether or not he is in the right position or wrong position to be getting those touches. But we shall move on now to what we have now dubbed Fife's Forum. This is where we ask you guys, the listeners, what you think. And we've always put a question out there just to, you know, get some interaction from you guys and understand not just asking questions at us, but asking questions to you. And we've got a couple. The question this week was from Jeff Hollenfreund. What are you most impressed with after our first four games? We got from Schwinn. He was most impressed by Guendouzi. I think we can all agree with that. He's a bit more how he reacted in tough situations against, you know, Chelsea. I think it's more around to his attitude. I think it's what he's going for there. From Gunnercast ZA, is that, whereabouts is that?
South Africa. Family,
South Africa.
They have a podcast as well. They're very good. They're new to podcasting. I think they've done four. So, yeah, good.
Awesome. Yeah, I was most impressed with the team's fighting spirit to win the game. I think this gets Cardiff as well. For our attitude after conceding goals has vastly improved since last season. And yeah, it's all, I think, the theme that's coming down. I think Siddharth as well is most impressed with Emery not giving two hoots about reputation and being ruthless with the subs. I think this is all down to a big attitude change that we've seen within the squad. Would you guys agree with that? That I think the attitude that we've seen from them seems to almost feel revitalised since last season.
I do. I like the fact that all the fans wanted, like what David was saying, Aubameyang and Lacazette up front, and he isn't going to cave into pressure. He's going to do what he thinks is right. And that's when a new manager comes in with such a heavy burden to follow such a legend like Wenger, and all the crowd are wanting this and not wanting Xhaka to play, and he's just going, no, I'm doing it my way. And I hope it works out. But yeah, well done to the bloke.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's having that fresh voice as well, because we did have a man who didn't want to change his ways. But perhaps other of us have got to the point after 20 so years that perhaps he needed to.
But let's be fair. Arsenal's been there 20 odd years. The message had got lost. Okay. You know, it's going to after that length of time. Unai Emery is no mug. This is a successful manager who's been at PSG. He's done well at Sevilla. You know, I mean, he's used to winning trophies. There was no way he was going to be a mug coming in. You're talking about a guy who knows his mind and will do, you know, he will live and die on his decisions, and good for him. You know, and it's, you know, I expect nothing else for us to be revitalised. You know, it had to happen. You've got fresh ideas, and it is very good to see.
David, what did you reckon to the attitude that you've seen in this last four games, or first four games under Unai?
Actually, I thought before the arrival of Emery, I thought the attitude in the squad, the team togetherness, hasn't been bad in recent years. And it has carried on, possibly improved a little bit at the start of this season. There are little signs I see that I'm not sure about the body language of Mkhitaryan, for example. And I don't like being negative like that, but he looks like he isn't enjoying his football at the moment. But the main point is that most of the others look as though they are. And, you know, Danny touched on the relationship between Aubameyang and Lacazette. That's just a joy to see. And everybody seems to be backing everybody up. And all the pictures you see of them in training, they're smiling, laughing. So other than one or two.
But, you know, I mean, this is the thing, guys. You know, some people make out everybody was majorly unhappy last season. I didn't see that. And
no,
you know,
I didn't.
It's one of those things where if people have an agenda, they're going to set it and they're going to frame whatever they say in that guise, okay, of, you know, it's my agenda, I hate Arsene Wenger, or I don't like Unai Emery, whatever it is, it's all nonsense, you know. The truth is, we've got a very good manager replacing a legend of the club, and, you know, we've got a very good squad of players. You know, I don't think it's going to take Unai Emery 4 transfer windows to get what he wants. I think it'll take him, you know, maybe 2, because I don't think there's a massive amount of change needed. I think Emery's biggest challenge is going to be how he deals with Mislintat, Sanjehi and Gazidis in getting what he wants, as they're the ones making the decisions on transfers now. So, you know, obviously he's going to have input. How well can he influence them to bring in those players long-term to improve the squad, to get them playing the way he wants to? You know, you look at us playing out the defence. Obviously, there's an issue there at the moment, but that will take time to solve. You know, there's rumours, you know, you hear the ITK saying, oh, I've heard they're not impressed with Leno. Well, I don't know. You know, I have no idea and that sort of thing. You know, I don't know what goes on in training, and neither does anybody else for that matter, apart from the players and staff. But, yeah, Emery's not just managing down, he's managing up as well. And, you know, I am excited just to see how this goes forward, but how he manages those three is going to be the real tail of the tape to see how quickly we can go forward.
Yeah, I think there's some really great points in there, Jess, especially the one about the fact that, you know, as a fan base, we're also kind of, as well as the teams feeling themselves out under this new regime, we're feeling out our own opinions, and because everything's been such a large change, that's really come into the fore now. And it's just a really exciting time, I think, that we've got this kind of clean slate for a lot of us that are holding on to a lot of things. I know certainly I had a lot of beats and agendas that I've had to let go of, really. And I'll try and still get rid of some of them. I swear, I will be. We'll go at some point. But yeah,
I'm not getting rid of my Aaron Ramsey agenda.
You won't until he's wearing a cockerel on his shirt. You'll still have it somewhere. But should we move on to questions on that horrible thought? Danny, what have the listeners been throwing us to answer?
I'm on it. Like a tramp on chips. Right, first question is from my mate Pizza Guna in the US of A, probably munching jalapenos and cheese and bread as she typed this. Is it time to change keepers? Yes or no from all three of you? I'll start with you, Josh.
Just as I've taken a drink. Oh.
Sorry, you just spent the last hour. I was thinking you're going to get a breather when I ask you a question. Oh.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I would stick rather than twist. I think Emery will have defined uses. I think Cech will be our goalkeeper through the whole of the Premier League season.
Jesus, no need for that. David, what do you reckon?
I would be tempted to twist if we're going to continue to play this new way of passing around at the back. On the basis that we've got to find out whether he is going to be able to be do a better job with his feet than Cech. And the word is that's exactly what he does well.
That is the word, especially if you read Bayer Leverkusen's Twitter feed. Jace, any wise words that don't include you shouting and screaming in your pants about Bale and Ramsey?
It's half time, so that's fine.
Come on, Ireland.
I'm in Dave's camp on this. I think a lot of Peter Cech, I think he's had a really rough time from a lot of people. I think, you know, he got sold short a couple of times by Socrates last weekend at the beginning of the game, but that's not having a go at Socrates, to be fair to him, because it's kind of new for him as well. Do you know what I mean? You know, you've got to treat all these guys fairly at the moment. And I just think, you know, if we're going to go forward, a ball-playing keeper is what we need to try now. He's German international. You know, okay, there may be some teething issues, but sooner or later, we have to go with it.
Okie dokie. Right, next question is oh, good God, I don't even know how this one makes any sense, but Josh seemed to know what he was on about. From Mike in the Gooners in the USA, who is shit at picking NFL players, he says, Premier League blue balls is killing me. Now, none of us knew what blue balls were until Josh explained it. Just when I want to explode in ecstasy over Arsenal, I have to wait 2 more weeks. Kill me now. Josh, have we got anything to say against that? To that?
I've got a decent national team to watch. Yep. And he doesn't.
There you go. That's that out of the way. Oh, here we go. From Gunnercast in South Africa. That's at Gunnercast_ZA, I think. That's those new people with the new podcast. There's been quite a few. There's been 4 new Arsenal podcasts so far this season. I'm up to 75 in my list. David, he says, or they say, what more does Torreira have to do to guarantee a spot in the starting 11? Surely, don't call me Shirley, after his performance of late, Emery will start him against Newcastle?
I think I've already kind of answered that one tonight. And I said, yes, I think it's time for him to start alongside Guendouzi for me. I know the other guys don't agree.
Oh, I agree.
For me. I think he probably, Emery was trying to introduce him gradually to the Premier League to see if he'd get used to the faster pace of it quickly. And his little cameos when he's come on in the second half, he's looked more than up to the job. So, yes, I think not only would I want him to start at Newcastle, I think he will.
So, sorry, guys, but he was awful against Chelsea.
Oh, will you shut up?
No. He was terrible against Chelsea.
You're terrible.
I don't understand why, you know, why we can't look at this objectively. You know, I don't think Guendouzi was great on Saturday and Sunday, but I thought Torreira's performance against Chelsea was absolute tripe. And it's not having a go at the guy. It was a tough game to come in on. It was a really tough game to come off the bench for. But, you know, he made mistakes leading to a goal, gave the ball away cheaply. And yet people are talking about as if he's, you know, he's had an exceptional start to his Arsenal career. You know, it's just not true.
I think his World Cup has given us a lot more ammunition than we might have to say that he could do a better job, but that's a completely different system that they play with Uruguay. It's higher pressing. He was given more of a defined role that he'll get at Arsenal. I think Arsenal will be asked to dictate the play more. Uruguay didn't really have that. They were more about breaks and just being as box to box as possible. And I think that's perhaps where, Jason, you've probably seen that this is where the clamour is coming from.
Yeah,
it's that it was a case of we knew he was coming in, so people were paying attention to his performance at the World Cup. And I think we didn't have that with Guendouzi. We had Guendouzi coming through pre-season where he also looked quite good. Xhaka in Switzerland, you know, flattered to deceive, should we say.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. And I've no doubt Torreira will do well. But, you know, let's look at it objectively and honestly.
That's you looking at it objectively. Well, we ain't got time for any more, Jace. End that in 3 words.
What
are you about to say? Sum it up in 3. Well, nothing. One word is better than 3 when it comes to you. Thank you very much. Right, next question. This will go to you, Jace. He says, this is from James Gavin Smalley. Should I be gutted that I wanted to back Guendouzi as Young Player of the Year after seeing him pre-season, but the odds weren't offered anywhere? Weirdly, they were on Hector. Now he's a front runner for the award. So do you have any sympathy for poor old James?
A little bit, but to be fair, I think Guendouzi has come a bit of a shock to everyone. I know when we spoke to Chris about him on the transfer shows, Chris said he's got the potential to challenge for first team spot, and fair play to Chris for calling that. But I think everybody's
don't give Chris any fucking credit.
That's
him for the next month. Well done, Jace.
As much as I love slating him, McKen taking the Mickey, you've got to give him a bit of credit. But you know, I think Guendouzi has taken even Chris by surprise by the quality of his performance and the energy he brings. I think that's one of the things he's got over Torreira at the moment, and why he's been started ahead of him, is his energy levels. How that's going to play out as the team develops, who knows? But, you know, yeah, if you could have chucked a couple of quid on him at 100 to 1 or something like that, it would have been a nice summer. It would have been a nice earner, wouldn't it?
I agree with you. Right, one for you, Josh. Oh, good luck with this one. Try and be as delicate as you can. From Davey Boyd, long-time listener and friend of the pod. He says, following recent, in brackets, unsurprising, revelations about the AFTV media admin being a Man United fan and the head man himself watching his support at the tender age of 22, in brackets, are blessed. Are there any skeletons in the AVW closet?
Yes, there are. However, I won't go into them because the special that we're doing over the international break, I do reveal the skeleton in my closet in that particular message that you'll listen to in that 5 minutes bit I did. So, yeah, you'll have to listen to that, to be honest, to get your answer, David Boyd. Sorry.
All of the ABW skeletons all revolve around one man, and all you have to do and do is look at his Instagram, and that's enough for all 16 of us.
You've got to love Davey Boyd, being as diplomatic as ever.
Yeah, as in not at bloody all. At least he didn't mention that the bloke's a Luton fan. He only went to see Arsenal because they were playing Luton. Anyway, Neil McCann, this is one for you, David. We've only got two more questions because we're doing really good on time. Neil McKeown, he sent us 147 different questions, and this is the best one for you, David. Would you sell Ramsey in winter? And then he says, nothing to do with the contract situation, but because he may not fit into Emery's team. Oh, that's something I've been saying for ages. Or is he too good not to have in our team? You go digest that lot and spit out a quality answer if you don't mind.
Oh my goodness me. No, I wouldn't let him go in the winter. I think a player of his quality, we need players of his quality. We need to persuade him that his future is with us. I think that Unai Emery is trying very hard to find a role for him in the team. And so that kind of covers the answer, I think.
Very good. I agree with you as usual because you are wise. Final question is going to go to Mr. Welsh Justice himself. This is from Siddharth. I think Siddharth is a regular in the MW Live chat box. He's a bit of a cheeky monkey. He is. I'm not even going to pronounce his surname. That's how much we like him. He says, at home, we were second in the league last season. Ergo, it is just a matter of winning a few more away games this season to finish top four, or is it a lot more complicated than that, Jace?
If you brought this up at the beginning of the season, okay, they're your easy wins, okay? Your easy wins are improve your away form, you win five away games, you draw an extra three, you're second in the table last season. Unfortunately, the league changes. Combined with that, we had exceptionally excellent home form last season. And as we're changing our style of play, it's going to be a real challenge to keep that going. Okay, a real challenge to keep that home form from last season over. It was only the Manchester clubs that beat us at home last season. Man City have done us already this season. We need to, we need to really apply ourselves, get a more cohesive style of play or learn the style of play that Emery's trying to bring. And hopefully that is what we will do. But, it's easy to say it. It's very hard to execute. So let's hope we can do that.
Awesome. Cheers, Danny, for all those questions. And Jace, thank you for the answer as well to that final one. I think that's everything we've got planned for the show other than listeners' questions. Shout-outs. Jace, have you got any shout-outs for anybody in particular this week?
I have indeed. Let me just find them here. Sorry, because of all the people tweeting us, it's all gone Pete Tong. Right, it's to Alonso Spencer at Mr. Robot Take 2. He had his sunglasses stolen this week by one of his work colleagues, and I've advised him to gain revenge by shitting in his hat. Good luck with that, Alonso.
Did he really do that?
Yeah.
Fuck with Alonso. He'll mess you up.
Alonso will shit in your hat if you steal his sunglasses. Go on, Alonso.
And that's from Jason. David, a shout out from you?
He's not on mute. Don't tell him.
I'm not on mute. Do you not hear that? No. I do apologise. It was all going so well. I've been so professional this week up until this point. We get to the finish. I have to have my customary balls up. Last person to tweet me was Mike Hernandez, who is at USA Guna 1886. Oh, in fact, he tweeted us all. It was a question. But anyway, he's the last person who tweeted me. He'll do.
Excellent. Danny, shout out for you.
Yes, it's going to go to a certain Matthew Guendouzi, because he has just won the Arsenal Player of the Month for August, and he did a lovely tweet. He said, "You are my motivation. If I start crying through this, someone take over. I'm working with passion for you guys. Thank you for your support. I will give you the best of myself." And I should have had the Titanic music playing in the background as I read that out. You lovely, lovely man.
So was that a shout out to him or his PR team?
What are you telling me? You don't think he wrote that himself? You are terrible. I thought he was fluent English speaker. Love him. Brilliant.
You're so cynical, Josh.
Oh, but
that's
Josh,
what I'm here for.
Have you got a wonderful shout out, Josh?
My shout out, he's already got a mention, and it's to do with, as I said, I'd only mention it twice, the cold I've got. I have been chugging down what I will call a Fife Fireball, which he gave me the recipe for earlier in the week. And I'd say it has cleared my throat up a treat. Might be the whiskey, might be the honey, might just be a combination of that plus the paracetamol. But my shout out is to Mr. Fife.
Have you finished? I was just going to say, should Alisson, the Liverpool goalkeeper, get an honourable mention, or should we not talk about that?
A dishonourable mention for the...
Best not to.
No.
Dirty boy.
You could always have a thing for John Welsh's Man of the Week, and I think Alisson would get that with bright colours.
That should be a new segment, Fifey's Corner. Whoops. And John Welsh's Man of the Week.
Yeah. And on that note, I would say thank you to all of my guests today. You've all been absolute superstars, and we will be back on when Danny the 10th, you said that special show will be out, where all of our skeletons will come out of the proverbial closet.
Yes.
Oh, hold up. Oh, sorry. Oh, shout out to, what's the, Rachel, who's the Five Live presenter who passed away this week?
Oh, so, was it Rachel Hunter?
No, was it Barlam? Rachel Barlam?
Oh, it's such a sad story. She tweeted a couple of days, she said, "They've told me I've got a couple of days left." And I thought, how could that be possible? And she did. Wow, so sad.
It's horrendous. So, you know, I mean, we talk a lot on this show about mental health and stuff like that. But, you know, people, if you've got a lump anywhere, get it checked out. I know that's simplifying things, but, you know, take care of yourselves, please. It's horrendous to think of a young mother.
Rachel Bland,
that was it, sorry. It's horrendous to think of a young mother losing her life like that. And I highly recommend you check out the podcast You, Me, and the Big C that she
They did a few of those.
Yeah.
With two other women that both had cancer as well. It's a horrible thing to talk about, but sometimes you need to get checked. And like you were saying, Jace, don't be worried about going to your doctor, even if it's nothing, just go.
Yeah, better to bother them over nothing than to suffer, you know. Please do it. You know, we're lucky enough to have some fantastic people who listen and join in with this. And, you know, we talk about mental health and speaking to people about your problems. You know, please, you know, if there's anything you're worried about, anything that's not right, get it checked out, for crying out loud. You know, we don't like losing people.
Absolutely. And on that note, we shall say thank you and good evening. Thanks for listening, everybody. We've been ABW. And good night.
Right, we're on to part two. Jason and Josh are with me for part two. So we're going to talk about the under-23s result. We hosted Spurs and we beat them 2-1. Jace, you were telling me a little bit about this. And I said, no, stop, save it for the extras. Go on, tell us about the fight, the WWF Royal Rumble that some people were describing it as.
Or the humbug session.
All right.
I saw a clip on Twitter.
Impressive.
It was like 3-year-olds having a go at each other. It was a bit pathetic. Somebody pushed somebody over. Oh God. You know, nice to see a bit of passion, great. But look, it's all that matters is we won.
Beat the scum.
Yeah.
Do you see any of it, Josh?
I saw the handbags and the resulting things of them going, oh, look at this guy, he's got great passion, but to be honest, he looked like Jack Wilshere, but without the talent.
Don't say anything, Jason. You shut your noise, boy. I shouted at Ian Lee. I rang Ian Lee last night and I shouted at him, I'm going to grab him by the ghoulies. There you go, people. That's a bit of information you never thought you'd hear on a podcast. And he said, I've been on Viagra. You won't have to grab me by the ghoulies. And then he cut me off. Oh. Right. So we are now Tottenham, which you'll be glad to hear, are 11th out of 12 teams. They're only a point above Blackburn, who are rubbish. We are on 7 points, and the lead is Everton on 8 points. So that's a wide open league. Our goals scored by the wonderful Willock the Younger and Judge John Jules. Now, that is a magnificent thing for not Judge. Tyrese, yeah, I did get it right. Tyrese John Jules from the Ministry of Sound Party. He's only 17. Amazing. He scored a hat trick for the under 18s last week against Leicester as we beat them 7-0. Gets a call up to the under 23s because the why would he do that? I mean, maybe he deserved it, but wasn't there some reason why there was quite a few call-ups from the under-18s to the under-23s? There usually is. So he got his call-up, started the game as number 9, scored a bloody goal, didn't he? There you go, people.
There's a lot of talent.
Just got to try and hold them down and make sure they don't go abroad.
Well, I think it's a bit more in-depth than that, isn't it? It's actually developing the talent, transitioning it from youth set up straight away through to sort of first team, and they've got to understand they've got to earn their place, a la Guendouzi at the moment. But I would like to clarify, okay, it is not a mass brawl unless you draw blood.
Okay. It goes old school. Unless someone needs to go home in an ambulance.
Unless you've drawn, and I'm not just talking a little bit of a cut, I'm talking pints of blood.
Yep.
Okay, or broken bones. It is not a mass brawl. It is handbags. Pushing somebody over is handbags.
Yeah.
Unless you put them through a steel, through a table or through the steel chair. Then that's definitely right.
Yeah, but you're not going to do that by pushing them, are you? You're going to do that by dropping them from a great height.
I could push someone onto a table.
Let's talk about murder. My favourite player in the youth team is Charlie Gilmore, because he follows me on Twitter. He had a goal disallowed in the 79th minute. Was that a goal disallowed? Got a ball with a strike through it in 79. Maybe that's a missed penalty. That's probably what it was. So that's really good. The under-18s went away to Chelsea and lost 3-1. They had £400 billion worth of players playing for them, probably. And they were 3-0 up by the time we scored a goal from Balogun. We are still third in that league, though, on 9 points. The leaders are Spurs and West Ham on 12, and Chelsea only have 7 points. Swansea are bottom. That's where they belong. The women don't kick off until this Sunday. So Sunday the 9th, 12:30, Arsenal v Liverpool. It's going to be on TV. BBC are now taking a real big interest in this. And it's great to see. It may not be the most entertaining football in the world, but it's more pure football for me. It's like watching lower league football, because the people who go and watch it really go and watch it because they care about it. Not like the Premier League is all full of ponces on millions of pounds poncing around being twats, and you watch them not because you want to, but because you have to. But women's football, like lower league football, for me feels more real. You know about that, didn't you, Josh? You know what I'm on about. You hear what I'm saying.
Yes, I hear exactly what you're saying. Sorry, I was definitely paying attention and not sending a message and chasing invoices.
Oh, good God. I don't know why I bother. I was trying to explain that women's football is like lower league football, not the quality, but people go for because it's more real, because Premier League football is full of ponces. What am I trying to say?
I think you're towing a very generic line there.
Like, I would much rather go and watch Barnet or Peterborough play most of last season and go and watch Arsenal play. But if I had a choice, I would have gone and watched Arsenal because I felt obliged to.
I saw both Arsenal and Forest Green Rovers play last season. I can tell you who I preferred watching.
I know who you preferred watching, and I know why you preferred watching it.
It had nothing. No, the fact there were actually some fucking goals, that helped. But I drove all the way to Forest Green Rovers to watch them draw 0-0 with Carlisle. Oh my God.
To be fair.
Things you do to be a hipster.
The company you kept during that Arsenal game was far more impressive than doing the Forest Green game.
I was sitting next to the manager. That's how tiny the stadium was.
Did he ask you if you knew Chris Carpenter? Did he have any ideas?
No, he's not that far across. He's closer between my hometown and where David is. Mr. Goonaholic. Forest Green's only like Gloucester, Wiltshire way.
I thought it was in London.
No.
Oh, shit, I better fuck that up.
No, that's David's done really well out of our Carabao Cup. Cool, because they're all around him. They're all Gloucester and Cheltenham.
Well, David does know people in high places. He's pulled some strings. Well done, David. Let's move on to injuries. Iwobi missed the game through illness. He says for the next game, he's a slight doubt. For the next game isn't for about 6 months, if you listen to Mike in the USA moaning about no bloody football. I do agree with him, though. Jenkinson, ankle injury, not back to the middle of November. Maitland-Niles, broken leg, which isn't as bad as it sounds. The end of November. Kolasinac, knee injury, end of October. And Lauren Koscielny, he is Achilles injury because he has no injury. How can you have an injury to something you don't have, Jace? Is that even possible? Like, you couldn't have a knee injury because you don't have knees, do you?
Well, no, I've got
a neck injury anyway.
Oh, excuse me. I've got knees. It's just one of them's buggered.
Is it?
You know? Yeah, yeah. The other one's all right, but the other one, I've got no cartilage. They can't repair my ACL. It's stuffed and the bolts aren't in the right way and it's just very painful.
So does it make you angry when you think of me sitting here with two perfectly good knees, very low mileage, never been used, and I've got no use for them?
I've got to be honest, I'd swap that straight away, mate.
Well, I don't want your shitty bloody Welsh knee. I'd have to start going on about Ramsey all the time.
Oh, my knee's great, actually. Well, the other one's great.
And the bad one? The bad one's not fucking great, is it?
If you had a Welsh knee, you'd be walking.
Or would I?
You'd be hopping, at least, if you had one.
Oh, then I wouldn't be at a park wherever I wanted Tesco's, would I? I don't think it's worth it. A Welsh knee or parking where you want a Tesco's. I've made my decision.
get those special trolleys as well. I've always wanted to use one.
They do. Sean pushes me around and I grab the trolley and I push the lower trolley and I make beep beep noises and she gets very embarrassed but thinks it's funny. Anyway, he's not back until the end of November. So he'll have fireworks aren't with the family, which is a good thing. What?
He's not back to September?
Koscielny's not back to the end of November.
That's going to be difficult, that one, isn't it? You know, the poor bugger. I mean, it's a hell of a road back for him, you know, with his previous problems, with the fact of, you know, right, he's had the operation now. Has he had enough rest? Is his rehab going to go well? You know, I wouldn't put any pressure on him coming back this side of Christmas if at all this season. You know, if we see him this season, it could be a nice bonus. But let's hope his head's screwed on and he's thinking properly.
Well, I feel sorry for him. I hate that injury. I did one. I do feel sorry for him.
Yeah, I agree with you, Josh. It's terrible. How did you manage yours?
I did mine when I was 13, playing football. Exactly the same thing. And yeah, I still have the issue because I was growing at the same time. So while I was doing recovery, my leg was getting longer, which doesn't help. But yeah, it's the same thing. Probably, you know, Koscielny's got... I had age on my side in the wrong way. He's got age on his side in the wrong way as well.
Yeah.
But for different reasons. But if he can get back and he gets on that field, then you know what? We'll put him through his paces whether or not he can run. His brain will be he'll be fine with that. We know he's got a footballing brain. He'll be fine. A Frenchman walks into a pole and homophobia Martin scores. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be okay.
That's the thing, you know, he's got pace. If he hasn't lost his pace, he's a real asset, you know. And more to the point, if he can come back and it not affect him, you know, he needs to regain full fitness. To be fair, Lauren Koscielny, you know, yes, there's a brain fart here and there, but he's served the club with honour and distinction.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's given everything. You know, I love Lauren Koscielny. He just frustrates me every now and again.
I don't know. This is just on a hunch rather than any medical practice behind it. Dom might be able to pull me up on this. We wouldn't see him during winter because I know my Achilles still now just occasionally gives me issues because just the cold weather just doesn't like it. They've got multi-million sports scientists. Yeah, yeah. I've got me and my foam roller.
And he's got socks.
Yeah, he's got socks as well.
Yeah.
and Socrates to do his running for him.
Oh, God, don't start me off.
Right, loans, as usual, nicking it from George Bird. I have tweeted him and asked him many times if he can still keep using it, much like the blokes who do all the Arsenal art stuff. I always ask those, and they always say, yeah. So Christian Bielik, the man who was meant to be the next big thing coming through as centre-back, he was Steve said he was a defensive midfielder in Poland, came in to join us, played at centre-back. Now he's out on loan, and according to Soccerway, he's playing as DM again. Mm-hmm. And George has put, Christian Bielik scored the winner with his first senior goal for Charlton Athletic as they beat Southend United 2-1. The Polish youngster played the entirety of the game. What do we think about that?
Lee Bolia is now officially their manager as of today as well. So if he learns anything, he'll be able to fight with his teammates when he gets back.
Oh, remember that is against. Oh, you do remember that is against. We were playing for Newcastle in the Europa, the UEFA Cup, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, it was Kieran Dyer. And oh, what did he say to him?
I'd hit fucking Kieran Dyer if I played with him.
Oh God! I was listening to a podcast like a couple of weeks ago, and they mentioned what he actually said to him.
What did he say to him?
Oh, I can't remember.
Was it racist?
No.
Because Lee Bowyer's got form in that, hasn't he?
No. I don't know why. I think it's got a feeling of someone putting some shit in somebody else's locker.
Is it shit in his hat?
Probably.
Wasn't that the game with Gareth Barry who was playing for Villa and he had to separate them?
Now, that was another one. The main one was it was by the touchline in a European game for Newcastle. But I think they've had a few bust-ups.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? It's bizarre. To be fair to Bielik, you know, this is the problem, again, with any Arsenal youngster, you know, and you're guilty of this, Dano.
Was
it Dan Crowley, future England legend? Yeah,
super Dan Crowley, now on loan at a Dutch second division team. Fucking hell, give up,
yeah.
Son.
Yeah, but this is the thing, you know.
We put too much pressure on him.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You did the same to Stefan O'Connor as well.
Yeah.
Zegalev's on his way back, training with the first team, Jace.
Mate, no hope.
Shut your face.
No hope. Sorry, no hope.
Cool.
Okay? Like, you know, you put so much pressure on them. And, you know, it's this thing of let them develop, you know? And, you know, I know you would say, oh, this is a pointless loan or that's a pointless loan. It's only a pointless loan if that's what the player makes of it. It's up to these kids to earn the right to play, whatever they are, to win that place and to force their way into the Arsenal first team eventually. You know, it's not the club's fault if they don't make a success of it. They have to take responsibility.
Yeah, and there's certain examples where, you know, they've gone out and had awful, awful loan spells, come back to their parent club and they haven't looked back. They've just smashed it there because perhaps that's that extra fight you get, you know, playing for your parent club. You're a fan of that side or in, you know, someone that is a striker at another team. It wasn't your boyhood club. Your boyhood club played in red and you went to their celebrations. But he had awful loan spells and came back. They had a striker shortage and, you know, now he's apparently England's best striker. Harry Kane, he was awful on loan at Leicester.
The dribbler.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, isn't it? You know, I mean,
we saw it with Cock, didn't we? So to speak.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Yeah.
Only recalled from loan when he was on loan at that German team.
He said that was the worst time of his career, didn't he? Because the coach hated him, but it made him stronger.
Yeah, but it's the thing, you know, when he was at Charlton, you know, people know my views on Coughlin, but when he first came back to us, he did a hell of a job, you know, he kept it simple.
It's been a while, Jase. If you'd like to cunt him off now he's no longer here, feel free.
No, I've always given him due credit.
You hate him.
No, I just don't think he's good enough for the Arsenal. And I'm right. I was right.
It's only because we ain't got time to argue with you. Anyway, you besmirched me.
Let's get this straight, okay?
Oh, here we go.
Frankie Coughlin.
Yeah.
Jack Wilshere.
Yeah.
You know? Wojciech Szczesny. I was right in all of them, mate.
Shut up. You besmirched me with moaning about players' loans. When look at Gideon Zelalem. Thank you very much, gentlemen. He was on loan at Rangers when they won the championship in Scotland, Tier 2. 21 league games, played magnificently, and then he got injured. And then his second loan, he was on loan to a Dutch second division fucking team. Now, how is that any kind of progression?
But that's the same
because, yeah, the
he was going up
first
in the world.
Division. Yeah, exactly. Did you see that? That the talking about shitty leagues, La Liga... No, Barcelona.
Yeah,
Barcelona. Barcelona played that team last week. I want to say it's Cuenca or something like that. Well, you know what their name you know what their name translates to?
Oh Jesus!
Potato farmers. They're the potato farmers. They beat an actual team of farmers 8-2, and that league is apparently relevant in this time.
Oh, I know.
Isn't that the? don't they got a home ground of like 5,500 capacity or something?
Oh, probably. I don't know. I've been having a La Liga rant already today.
To be fair, boys, okay, La Liga, the fraudster league, you know, the council or the government league, you know, yeah. The taxation dodger league, call it whatever you want. It's a bit pathetic.
The multi-country league. It's got two countries that play in it, apparently.
That was France.
That was quite funny, actually, as well, that that's come out. The Catalonia derby being played in the US and you're only allowed to show Spanish flags.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Girona is over there. Girona and Barcelona are both Catalonian teams. No political ideology is allowed to be shown at that, but they will be handing out 40,000 Spanish flags to.
What's the other club in? Is it Rayo Vallecano in Barcelona?
Probably.
Is that the Barcelona club?
I shall have a look at their address because I'm on there. No, they're in Madrid.
Okay,
I'm sure they won't mind you confusing Barcelona.
Espanol,
oh yeah.
Yeah, there you go, it's Espanol, sorry. Well, you know, look, I don't really care, do I?
Farmer League.
It's a shit league and it's boring, okay?
It's officially this season, the Farmer League, because it actually has a team called the Potato Farmers in it.
That is ST Huesca, and they have a home capacity of 5,500. My local team, God Manchester Rovers, have got a better ground than that.
I gotta be honest, I do love it when people start going, oh yeah, but it's far more entertaining. Well, where are your viewing figures?
I mean, if you pick the right games, yeah, Newcastle Cardiff was a shit game, but every other game's all right. I'd switch that out for a El Clasico if I could, but you know what?
Okay. I'd switch Newcastle Cardiff off for a bloody to have my eyes with a pin stuck in my eyes, you know, it was that bad, but not being funny, you know. Yeah. Viewing figures win at the end of the day, and it's as simple as that. You know, that's what entertainment is. But I just can't stand that league. And how, you know, when you look at the disparity in sort of funding of these clubs, how are the smaller clubs ever supposed to develop in the Liga?
They can't because they don't do their own TV deals, do they? And that's what the Premier League want. The big teams, I want to say, fuck the little teams. We want all the money.
They also do their own finances.
Yeah,
so they generally go bust every so often.
Who was the guy from Simpsons, the fake doctor, Dr. Nick?
Yeah.
Dr. Nick does the accounts, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Talking of accounts, you know, we dodged a bullet. I nearly read out Schwinn's question about the referee.
Yeah.
Yeah, and John has just tweeted him and said, those quotes are fake. And so Schwinn said, that makes far more sense now that I think about it. Well, cheers, Schwinn, for nearly fucking dropping us in it. You know we nearly always read your questions out. And you've tucked it on John's
book. No worries.
Oh, he says, no worries, mate. I got caught by it the other day. Wouldn't surprise me if it was true, though. There you go. That's John Welsh, man of the week.
George, yeah.
You know, Santi has started all three Farmers League games for Villarreal.
Yeah, he has played games.
Remember what we said when it came at the end of last season when he came on in that game? He said, we'll never get another team. How wrong were we? And how brilliant is that?
Danny, that's because he's done as much running in those three games as you have in the past 20 years.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You're not wrong.
He's made 14 steps in total and 360 passes.
I remember playing a foot. This is how ruined grassroots football is. A couple of seasons ago, I played a game and the referee, God bless his soul, was 82, but he did not leave the centre circle all game.
Oh, fair play to him.
Fair play for being there. But yeah, to be fair, you know, I needed to give him a telescope because he wasn't going to see anything and his eyes probably had two cataracts in.
Yeah, but look at it. Without him, you couldn't play, could you? You know,
it's not my fault. It's the league's fault for putting him out there.
I wouldn't put up that with the shit they have to take. You know,
other side, great. The pitch is big enough for him to see it, but he was like, this is annoying.
Have you seen, Chris tells stories about what he's seen down in Plymouth and what have you? I mean, I don't go to watch local football around here, and it's been years since I played, but, you know, when I was on the rugby pitch, you wouldn't say boo to the referee. You just wouldn't. You called him sir or ref, or, you know, you just kept your discipline.
You look at some of these fucking retards and the way they speak to referees, and you just think, you know what? You'd be off, just off, you know. It's just a bit sad that it is.
It's just the culture the two games came through, wasn't it, really? That kind of led to it.
Yeah. I've got a bonus question for you.
All right.
Some buzzers. Colin Kazim Richards, 2 point, 1 point. Where was he last playing? Gone in.
Oh, last playing. Yeah. Colin Kazim Richards turned up. Is it Billericay?
Yeah, no, that's not it at all. No. Jace, would you like to have a guess? I'll let you have a continent. I don't mean A, E, I, O, or U.
North America.
Bloody hell, Jace gets a point. He was at Corinthians. 36 games. That's my Brazilian team. 4 goals. Now then, the bonus question.
Also, Brazil's not in North America.
He said still. South America.
I thought you said North America.
No, I said North America.
Oh, you're fucked then. Disqualified. You're fined. Where's he playing? He's on loan now. He's gone to another team. Go on, Josh. You can have first guess.
In Mexico, is it?
Oh, fuck off, you twat. Right, we're going to move on to...
Is it in Mexico?
Yes, where is he?
The Coca-Cola player. That's his debut. Oh, my God. I hope he's paying rent wherever he is.
And my Brazilian team have got Emerson Sheik back at the club after being away for a while, and he has just gone 40, and he's... He's not doing too good.
So back to Zlalem anyway, okay? All the talent in the world hasn't got the top 2 inches. Simple as that. He hasn't got the mentality for it.
He's Jewish?
No.
No, sorry, they're missing the top 2 inches joke.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
There you go. Doing this in the USA, giving away... a signed Alan Smith book. They just had Alan Smith on their podcast. And it says, Alan Smith has generously agreed to sign 3 copies of his new book, Heads Up, to folks who donate $150 by the 14th of September. So it says, to win, go to GoonersVersusCancer.com, with which we give them $68 or $63. We give them all the money we made from that show and all the donations. And it says, go down to and select Perk, donate, change tip to zero now and go and do it. So yeah, go and have a look at people at Gooners in USA, because that's a really worthwhile cause. Because
you should have mentioned that after the Rachel Bland thing, shouldn't you?
Should have done. Mike's old man, I didn't know, but you say Mike's old man passed away from that a few years ago. So God, it's depressing, isn't it? But you know, it may be depressing to talk about, but if one person goes, I heard that on a podcast, I went to the doctors, they had a quick squeeze, I had a cancer, they whipped it out and I'm okay. It's worth...
Do you know what? I was in work office about 10 years ago, right?
Is this still part of the podcast, Jace?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I don't want to hear you shitting in someone's hat.
No. But my right testicle had been sort of enlarged for about a month, okay? And sometimes it happens, you know, you just think, but this has gone on for, they're gone for about 2 months, sorry. And I just sat at work and just thought, oh no, this is really now, this is getting ridiculous, starting to get a bit painful. Went down the doctors, turns out a little bit of an infection, nothing serious. And not a John Welsh infection either, by the way.
You'd be dead by now if you had one of them.
No, but I phoned up the doctors. 10 minutes later, I'm being seen by a doctor. You know, when I explained to them what it was, straight in, bang, examination. That was a bit uncomfortable. I'm the doctor of my, bloody, you know, the boys in his hands. That wasn't
half good. The women of Wales have had that. So why should the doctor be denied that opportunity?
Cheers, mate. Thanks for that. You know,
he said, "Oh, I recognise these."
they may have entered the.
Hello.
They're so notorious. They've got their own fingerprints.
But the moral of the story is, you know, once I got
there's
it done,
there's no morals with you, Jace. Don't try fobbing us off.
There's a course of antibiotics that's all sorted. Do you know what I mean?
Introduced you as the venereal, Jason Davis.
Oh,
hey. That doesn't top Pollock's though, does it? Jason's and his argan wort. How quick was that?
Oh, I know. That was sharp. That was brilliant.
I'm going to need to get on with this. This is going to be longer than a fucking podcast. Kelechi Nacowali played 76 minutes for Porto B as they beat Academia 2-1, but Porto were bottom of the league.
Is that the net?
I think you're nuts. They were bottom of the league.
I've had enough of Jason's nuts.
They lost to my Penafiel last week. Takumo Asano, the man who was never be seen at Arsenal again, started but was taken off at half-time as Hanover drew 0-0 with Borussia Dortmund. fucking hell, I wonder what. I'm trying to look for the Dortmund game at the weekend. David Nonek, no offence, Jace, Ospina, played the whole game against Napoli and they lost 3-0. What have you got to say about that, Jace? I know you're a fan of the Mr. Ospina. Lost 3-0 at Sampdoria.
Look, he's a bang average player, a goalkeeper. He can't, you know, Jesus. Sorry, I'm watching the Wales game. Look, you know, good luck to him. When he first came into the team, a bit like Coughlin, he settled us down. He gave it back for a bit of thing. I hope he does well, but, you know, he's not the quality we need.
I'm about to add to my Amazon basket the Theo Walcott book, Growing Up Fast, hardcover. For £2.75 delivered in very good condition. I only buy my books secondhand, unless they're people that we know. Add to your basket.
Nice.
There you go. Yes. Right. Next one is Callum Chambers. Came on for the 87th minute as Fulham drew 2-2 with Brighton and Hove Albion. Josh, you're a Brighton boy. What do you reckon?
Glenn Murray definitely got him out of a hole. I still
God, how has he? What's he got? 3 goals this season.
He has. That one he got against. One he got against United was pretty decent.
It was. Was it a header?
No, it was the flick round the corner that completely did De Gea because he can't control his box.
Did he pirouette to get that?
No, he just ran in. It was like Giroud against Lloris last season. He steamed it in the near post, clipped it, but it went far post as opposed to near post.
Yeah, this is the thing. Why do people give Glenn Murray such a hard time?
Because he denies that he's fucking bald.
No, he doesn't deny that.
Comb over, shitbag.
He's not comb over. He shaved it all off.
When? Not on the weekend, he hadn't.
Well, I think he did.
He's
a player. He's got a buzz cut.
I think he's a decent pro. You know, he's done well wherever he's been. Palace, Bournemouth. Brighton.
He did all right for Bournemouth, then got to the Premier League, shit his pants, did the same at Palace.
But the quality of defender's better, isn't it? You know, he's more suited the Championship. But
he's Championship.
He's had a really decent career.
If you didn't get fucked over by Poyet, I'd probably like him more, but I don't like him.
Yeah, but I don't see why people have a go at him. Not liking him's fine, you know, you don't have to like him, but...
He went to Palace.
Oh, you stop bickering. Right, the next one. Matt Macey played the whole game for Plymouth. They lost 3-0 to Portsmouth. They have lost every bloody game this season. Ooh. And he is not having a good time of it.
Plymouth.
That's because Chris lives there.
He's got the Pirates jinx. Yeah. I think they are in... they're in League One because my boys, Peterborough, smashed them, beat them maybe 6-1 or 5-1. They are...
Peterborough have fluked their way up there, by the way.
No, it's Darren McAnthony. What he does, he goes and buys all these strikers for £500,000, waits till they get a load of goals, and then sells them on for £6 million. That's why he doesn't want us to get promoted, because if he does, then we're not going to get players that will score shitloads of goals because we're in Division 3. But Plymouth played 6, won none, drawn 2, lost 4. He's conceded 13 goals.
Was that? That was Barry Fry, wasn't it? Barry Fry.
Banter.
Yeah. If I had my way, I'd play 11 strikers. Just attack. I love that about him.
Met him twice. Lovely man. Both times he had no fucking idea who I was or what I was on. But I met him in the lift at the 2001 FA Cup final. I said, Barry, if I'd known you were coming, I'd have got a lift. Oh, mate, yeah.
Is he too busy pissing in the corner?
He should have been trying to exercise me from the lift.
Exercise you, yeah.
Alan Smith's book is on Amazon for £13.91. I'm adding it to my basket,
Jock's book is still out there, isn't it?
I've got to read that. Oh, Jermaine, what's come up with Jermaine Pennant's book, Mental Health? Mental bad
night. Is there a comma in it?
No, there's no mental health in there. It's just mental, bad, and I have to click on it to see the rest of it. Mental, bad behaviour, ugly truths in a beautiful game. You're an idiot, and that's all.
I have absolutely zero interest in Jermaine Pennant.
No, nor does his wife anymore.
Or does his Porsche that he left in Espanyol. Because when he was running away from the tax man, I mean, allegedly running away from the tax man to come back home, he left his Porsche parked in the car park of the airport.
Oh.
He doesn't pay the fines.
Lovely. Right, Reese Nelson. Watch from the stands as Hoffenheim beat Freiburg 3-1. Oh, what'd you say, all Phil?
I've just seen Ireland's first goal. Rams went full Xhaka, didn't he? There,
he did. He went an absolute man.
Not even that. Not even full Xhaka. That was even further than that.
It was actually fall of your Shulius's time. It was just ridiculous. But anyway, 4-1 up. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, he's been added in the Hoffenheim Champions League squad, hasn't he?
He has. That's because he's 19, though. He can get in for free, can't he?
Our squad's just been announced, and Cohen Bramall, our emergency left back, has not been named in the 45-man squad.
It's because he's 23. That's why.
But he is in the Premier League squad, which is good for him. I'm just plagiarising everything George Bird. People, go follow George Bird on Twitter with a J.
There's nobody listening now, mate. We've bored them to death.
Oh, they listen. They love it. This is the best part. Zelenem training with the first team. That's really good. He's going to go full Wilshire and run the team.
Into the ground.
My mate Tony, who I went to school with, came round the other day. He's building me a Raspberry Pi. I'm getting a Spectrum Plus case, putting the Raspberry Pi in that, and I'm having no ROMs on it at all. But he said, you watched the West Ham game? He went, yeah, I heard it on the radio. It was shit. He said, I don't know why Jack Wilshere didn't play. So I had a look, went, he played the whole game. He said, they didn't mention him once. I said, if only Jason was here to high-five you now, he probably would.
He started next to Carlos Sanchez, who had literally the worst game known to man. I think that's why everyone was distracted by how shit he was.
Except for Jack Wilshere.
Yeah.
After we played them the other day, we finished the radio show, and John turns and he goes, I think we only mentioned Jack Wilshere once, and that's because he was robbed for the ball by a Wobby. And that was it. And the funny thing is, when he got robbed by a Wobby, he was doing exactly what he was doing for us last season. Head down, not looking up. He had a man on, man open he could pass to. And how nobody could see that last season, it just shocked me. You know, you've got to know where your teammates are. You have to, you know, pass to them. You have to, you know, you have to utilize everything at your disposal. And he puts his head down, runs along, gets dispossessed. It's getting sad because he's a better player than that.
He's moving into the Mark Noble kind of, oh, he should play for England all the time, but actually isn't good enough level, I think.
Do you know, during the World Cup, when Ian Wright turned around and said, we should have brought Jack Wilshere along, he can make things happen. I thought, look at his Premier League record. Look at the number of goals and assists. He doesn't make anything happen ever.
I wouldn't have had him there for goals and assists, let's put it that way. But the fact that he could...
Passion.
No, not passion. The fact he can control possession.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't control possession.
That goal compared, in Norwich, Jace, sums up his career. Beautiful.
Compared to Jordan fucking Henderson.
Henderson, I like that.
Henderson has made the semi-finals of the World Cup. Okay? Jordan Henderson has made the final of the Champions League.
Yep.
Right up. Yes, he's limited. Yes, he's horrendous. But at least he gives you up and down, which is what England needed.
He played full, oh my God, I'm going to shit my pants. I'm getting closed down. So I'm going to punt it long. Nobody's there. And he had no idea what was going on. He was out of his depth. Jimmy Traoré? Jimmy Traoré has a Champions League winner's medal.
Yeah, can't.
Jordan Henderson is the Jimmy Traoré, but he could only make it to the semi. Shit he is.
He's not that bad. What was the song Liverpool had for Jimmy Traoré? Don't blame it on Finnan. Don't blame it on Hammond. Don't blame it on... Oh, there was another something Nan there. Yeah. Blame it on Traoré. He just can't control his feet.
Talking of Liverpool strikers, remember Jibril Cisse?
Yeah.
With a beard. He has just come out of retirement to go and play for third division Italian team, Cesena.
How many times has he broken his leg? I swear he breaks his leg at every club, doesn't he?
He's 102 times at last count.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Welsh beard.
Jace, what? We're going to go now. So would you like to sum up the Wales v Ireland game?
Wales 4, Ireland 1. 4 great goals and a Rambo abortion.
Jesus. Josh, thank you very much for hosting tonight.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'd like to apologise to Jason for the question I asked him last week and to all Welsh women, especially all those called Dolly.
Mate.
Do you accept that, Jace?
No. I'm going to be up to Preston soon.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll tell you one thing, then he's going to find out what they call the North End.
He's going to get to taste your no knees.
Tell you what.
Oh my God, it is bigger. That's sort of what we're saying.
We're getting off track. Right.
Sorry.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to A Burkamp Wonderland, part two, the extras that have gone on for longer than the actual podcast, surprisingly.
Sorry for boring you.
That's we put up with you for 4 years, Jace. It's the least we can do. No, it's the most we can do. Say good night.
Good night, folks.
Night, folks.
And here's some more shenanigans after the podcast ended. You open the door for 5 minutes and the house is full of fucking flies. Cunts. They should live outside like the rest of the creatures.
Yeah, but without the spiders, that's all you have is flies.
I don't have spiders either. Not had any. That means they're all going to gang. They're going to hear what? And they'll be in and they'll be all over me.
They're coming in now because it's getting colder outside and it's still warm in the houses.
But I never have open windows. I had all the doors and windows open today because I cleaned my oven. I did all the easy bits. My mum helped. We had to put the oven on at 230 degrees for an hour to burn off all the shit in the bottom.
My mum helped me. I love it. I love the fact I still say that as well. My mum helped me. What?
That reminds me. Cheers, Danny.
Yes.
Clean the oven.
Yeah, because I've got a double oven. We got this in 1996. It's a lovely Hotpoint one with glass top, and the thing, you can't lift the glass top up. It's wonderful. And I've not used the top part of the top oven for about 5 years because when you turn it on, there's a smell. And
still plastic in there.
Oh, no, not after this length of time. And I bet what it was is when I last had the oven professionally cleaned, the bloke didn't wipe off all the chemicals, so I've just not used it. So today we've put that on 220 degrees as a fan-assisted one, and it stank the kitchen and the house out. And then after about 10 minutes, it was perfectly fine, so I can use my top oven again now. Because so I don't have to worry about falling face-first into the oven when I'm getting my food out.
One of the ages plays just gone down really awkwardly. It looks nasty. No, I was going to say, I get that, you know, that really strong, ultra-strong oven cleaner.
Mm.
Lay it down overnight, I know. Put another, you know, wipe all the crap that comes off there off, lay it down again for a couple of hours, turn the oven on at a low heat for a while, leave it open then to cool down, then go again, and most of it just comes off then. It's not a problem.
Oh, no, I mean, it wasn't that dirty. It was just like a layer of shit at the bottom of it. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even any bits in it. It's weird. But I think it was the chemicals that he'd used on the side of it. Because even when you use the grill, which is part of the top oven, it was... making a horrible mess, a horrible plasticky smell, like a chemically smell. So I wish I'd have done that all that time ago.
Once I've cleaned it, I wipe it down, you know, get rinse it up with water, you know, as in get some, you know, a fresh cloth on. Get a fresh cloth on. Then I leave the oven on. Then I open it up, leaving it on for about 10, 15 minutes. And I leave the door open then, you know, but I got the front windows open and the back door open to leave the air go through. It's normally fine then.
I'm going to be careful with you, your back door open, bending over a bin in the oven.
Cleaning tips from ABW.
Flapping away like a minister's elbow. That's not even a saying, is it? Oh, what the fuck was that?
You're like Kim and Aggie, but what was it? Slightly more looking.
Flapping away like a wizard's sleeve.
I've even bought myself a sharpening stone to sharpen all my knives with. £13 from Amazon. Nice. So I may not be here next week.